When we share someone's story here on the Diaries, the episode might end, but their story doesn't. So many of the people we've talked to, they've gone on to do incredible things. They have epic adventures and make significant impacts in our community. Over on Diaries Plus, we're catching up with some of our former guests to see what they've been up to. I recently sat down with Connor Ryan, a Lakota professional skier from our Sacred Slopes episode, who's been knocking out groundbreaking projects ever since the episode aired. It's really incredible. We had a great discussion about the impacts he's made, what keeps his fire burning, and taking ski lessons as a pro skier. Here's a snippet of the conversation.
All the source of joy that I use to fill my cup to be out in the world doing positive things comes from my relationship to the outdoors. And so I really focused on like, wow, like there's so much power if I can give one person the relationship to the outdoors that I have through skiing. And maybe that will have as profound of an effect on them as it's had on me.
To listen to the full episode, use the link in the show notes to subscribe to Diaries Plus today. Yeah, you get more shows, but you also have a peace of mind of powering what's out there right now, keeping us moving forward, keeping this community together. So thank you for everyone who supported and everyone who's going to support. We appreciate it. The Diaries turns 300 today. And
by the Diaries turns 300 years. 300
of
the 300th episode, not that it's 300 years old.
I feel that way right now. I will not lie to you. I feel that way. And you guys were like asking like what stands out to you, and you're just like, this is my, like, I'll be honest, this is my f-ing life. Like, it's like I've mm-hmm. I've like it's sort of funny, like, what stands out to you, life? And you're like, I don't know. Mm-hmm. And what stands out, and I just say I'm grateful for it all. And I think that a lot of everyone who's like worked on the show, I would kind of say feels pretty similarly, because it's crazy how you do something for this long that's community-based, that's powered by everyone who's listening right now. And you do that for that long, and you like become the fabric. You become mm-hmm. like the forest floor. You become this thing, and it's like sometimes you don't totally know where you begin and the community starts and where you end and the community ends. Mm-hmm. You know, it just feels that mm-hmm. way. Mm-hmm. Even like when you might personally feel like pretty isolated, or like mm-hmm. pretty being like, I'm stuck in an office, like doing something. I think what's so neat is to see this was an idea, and this idea wasn't necessarily like my own. It was more like I saw other people telling stories like this, but they weren't telling them about the outdoors. And I thought, oh, well, it'd be cool if I could take this and go run with this and bring this sort of style of things, and we evolved it in our own way, and then other people have taken it and run with it on their own, and it's just cool to be a part of something that feels bigger than yourself. Mm-hmm. And it's cool to see how the community around this has powered ideas that run into other people's lives, that they carry through, that will be passed on to other people. And it's part of this kind of cool evolving process of being a part of the outdoor community. Mm. And that's
no, I love that. I mean, I feel like we're all part of this big spinning wheel, whether we're a producer on the show or somebody that listens or somebody that started it. Everything factors into the next. The stories that we get are inspired by our community of people.
I feel like we're about to like ask people for money right now, which we aren't. I feel like if this were NPR, I'd be like, now is a perfect time to donate. I'm like, yeah, not really, but like, yeah.
Yeah, this is...
No, sorry, I cut you off. I didn't mean to do that, but yeah, that was like hilarious.
This is,
I totally was
this
like,
is not this a pledge
is
drive.
This is where the big pledge drive ass comes in. Nope, okay. Onward. No. What were you going to say? Sorry.
No, we're just getting sappy because we love our community. Like, we love the people that give us stories and pitch us stories, and then the people that hear the stories and do something with them. It's just awesome.
What do we got today? Tell us about today's story. Okay. This is good. I think this, just tell us about what are we going to do today?
So
it's a cool story.
It is. It's great. So in honor of our awesome community, we have a story for you guys today about our listeners. taking an idea from one of our stories and really running with it. So last year, we published a story called Shenanigans, and it was about two long-distance friends who sent outdoor challenges back and forth to keep their climbing partnership alive. And so today, we're going to bring you a story of four women who carried on Mike and Scott's tradition. And we think it's pretty fun.
That's awesome.
You want to say your name?
Oh, yeah. I'm Fitz Cahal.
I'm Cordelia Zars.
You're listening to the Dirtbag Diaries.
So if you didn't hear our episode called Shenanigans last year, here's a short recap. Mike Flanagan and Scott Gwynn bonded over their love of climbing. They got out on some unforgettable adventures when they lived together in San Diego. But when Mike moved to Colorado, they had to get creative about how to keep their climbing partnership alive. Each time Scott visited Mike in Boulder, he seemed to leave something behind.
Oh, I've got your water bottle. Do you want me to send it to you? And he's like, no, it's fine. Just hold on to it. And then like, a couple weeks later, he's like, oh, I've got like one of your quick draws. And I was like, oh, do you want me to send it to you? He's like, no. And then I think you must have come to visit or something. And I ended up with like a bunch of your clothes. It was like your basketball shorts, a shirt.
Mike had a small room. He stuffed them in a package and scribbled out Scott's address.
I don't know if there was a thought that triggered it, but somehow I was like, oh, I should send along a written challenge to Scott. As long as I'm sending this box, I should also include like a handwritten challenge. The first challenge that came up was the Scott Santee Challenge. Rules. Complete the listed circuit of boulder problems in order within 1 hour car to car. The whole car to car mission has to be caught in a single continuous GoPro capture. Every problem has to be completed in a clean manner. Complete the mission by July 1st, 2019 and you win. Standard six-pack bet rules apply. Acceptance of this six-pack bet may only be received via physical mail. Included is a postcard for your accepting convenience.
He knows when he writes this that I'm going to accept it. Like, no matter what he writes on here, like, when I first read it over, I was like, oh, this shouldn't be hard at all. And I remember, like, sending him a response that was potentially quite arrogant. I'll have it done by the end of the week or something.
Mike and Scott continued to send challenges of escalating difficulty to each other over the years. Through this exchange, they maintained a close friendship, even when they lived 1,000 miles apart.
We listened to a Dirtbag Diaries episode a while ago and loved the idea.
This is Emmy Gall, and here's her friend Andrea Noble. She goes by Andy.
I had been doing a bunch of solo hikes in the White Mountains of New Hampshire, and then I signed you up to start coming with me. On one of our many like hike conversations of like many hours in the mountains, it like came up that we like both heard this podcast. We're like, you know, just kind of like spitballing. And Emmy, you were the one who was like, what if we did that?
I know. I just love the idea of it so much. And I think we knew we were going to be quarantined for a while and just like not getting to go on adventures, or I guess we were still relatively new friends at that point. And so finding ways to continue building our friendship was important to me. And it sounded like a fun thing we could do together.
Andy and Emmy met in college in Maine, but only started adventuring together after they graduated. They're both live wires, a lot of energy, a lot of spirit. And they both love a good, spontaneous mountain adventure. So when Andy lived in Boston and Emmy lived in Portland, Maine, they'd meet in the middle for weekends in the White Mountains. They climbed peaks, explored new trails, talked for hours about post-grad life. Their personalities meshed right away.
I feel like when I describe Emmy to other people, I say she's just like super gung-ho, stoked for anything, like down for anything. I'll like suggest something and she's like always says yes.
You're one of my like few friends who also says yes to everything, but you always follow through.
Once COVID shut down the country, Andy and Emmy's adventures became fewer and farther between. they both left the East Coast to be with their families during quarantine. Andy drove from Boston back to her family's ranch in Wyoming, and Emmy returned to her home in North Carolina, and then moved to Colorado for a few months. They chatted about the way Mike and Scott had used their challenges to keep up their friendship while living apart, and Andy and Emmy decided they would give it a shot.
Yeah, it was kind of a way to, like, keep up the momentum of the, like, doing outdoor stuff together and, like, connecting over that while, like, knowing we were going to be apart for an undetermined amount of time.
They spent a few months inventing their challenges and then met up in Colorado on Valentine's Day 2021 to exchange them. Because their locations were shifting so much throughout the pandemic, they decided to give each other a whole list of challenges to complete over a year.
The challenge for Emesha M. God from Andrea C. Noble. Timeline: must be completed by December 31st, 2021 at 11:59 p.m. The tasks: complete 2 triathlons, 1 winter, 1 summer.
Andy's challenge for Emmy went on to suggest various activities she might choose for her triathlons, including skiing, snowshoeing, building a snowman, and for the summer, kayaking, hiking, beach volleyball. Andy would get to decide the distances once Emmy had chosen her 3 sports.
Failure to complete will result in eternal disappointment. May the odds be ever in your favor.
And Emmy has hers on this, like, beautiful paper that was, like, rolled up in a delicate little scroll that I had to, like, undo, and I have to sign it. And it was, like, very, very official. Dear Ms. Andrea C. Noble, your 2021 challenge is upon you.
Given this, Andy had told Emmy she was about to move away from Boston and take a job in the Mountain West. So Emmy tailored the challenge to help Andy do a final lap of the eastern states, Maine, Vermont, and New Hampshire.
Hike to the top of Mount Musilock or Mount Hancock and sled down its snow-covered trails. Eat a slice of pie at Lou's in Hanover.
Camp in a few spots in the Midwest as she drove across the country, and then explore wherever she ended up in the Rockies.
Hike at least 3 new 12,000-foot peaks in the Rockies. As you complete the tasks, my ask is that you send updates and preferably photos too. Best of luck, Emmy.
In March, Emmy set out to complete her first triathlon challenge in Steamboat Springs.
It was so much fun. So I did one of them. I was visiting a friend of mine, Erin, and we planned out kind of a whole adventure across Steamboat. So basically we parked one car at the ski resort, like at the base, and then we drove across to this big park that's kind of in the center of town called Emerald. And we cross-country skied like 4 miles up the mountain and then down. And then we threw our stuff in my car, put on our running shoes, and ran, I think it was like maybe 4 miles to the other side of town to our car at the base of the ski mountain. And then we went and skied, I don't know how many vertical feet. We didn't actually count, but it was a lot. Woo-hoo! Then at the very end of the day, we jumped in the Yampa. So got some extra credit points there. In the middle of winter. It was cold.
Well, so it turns out that I did my first challenge the same weekend she did her first challenge. And I don't remember who, like, texted whom first, but somebody, you know, started it and was like, oh, I'm, like, doing my challenge this weekend. And I was like, I'm doing my challenge this weekend. And so it was kind of cool because then we were doing it at the same time. But, like, I was in New Hampshire, Emmy was in Colorado. But, like, every so often I would, like, get a bit of phone service and would, like, get an update from Emmy that was like, just completed a ski or, like, just ran.
That day, Andy tackled the second item on her list, hiking Mount Hancock and Mount Musilock and sledding down.
Emmy had told me, like, forever how she had, like, gone to this mountain one time and, like, sled down it, and it was, like, a casual afternoon, and she, like, brought actual plastic sleds, and I was like, yeah, so it's gonna be, like, a casual mountain. This is, like, a very, very steep, like, straight down drop off. And I was like, if I actually was in a plastic sled right now, like, I could potentially just run into a tree and not be okay. There was, like, one moment where I was a little bit like, maybe this is a bad idea because I am alone, but it was fine.
All right, here is our first dispatch of Outdoor Challenge 2021. We are on the North Peak of Mount Hancock. It is a ridiculously beautiful day. Blue sky, hard trails, although they're melting fast, and I think some really good butt sliding conditions. So
I didn't have a sled. Like, everybody had bought all the sleds because, like, we had had a big snowstorm the week before. And so I brought, like, a plastic bag and, like, poked holes in it and wore it like a diaper, and then, like, referred to it as my diaper sled, and then was, like, wearing it as I was, like, hiking between, like, the parts where you could sled, and just, like, cackling uncontrollably to myself alone in the woods.
Diaper sled. This is fine. Can't wait till I run into somebody. Oh yeah. This is gonna work. Okay, we're off the trail. I'm doing great. Hold on. Oh man, just gotta get out of the tree. It's all good. It's all good. There's no steering on the diaper sled, but we're back in business.
Like, I would not have had, like, that silly of a day. Like, I probably would have, like, hiked, and I would have been more, like, goal-oriented. Like, I need to, like, knock off this, like, next summit or whatever. But instead, I was just like, this is ridiculous, and I love it.
Ah! All right, we're gonna stop filming for a second.
And then even, like, on my drive home when I was exhausted, I, like, brushed the back of my pants or, like, something, and then discovered I had, like, a gaping hole on, like, the whole back of my pants, and I had just come out of, like, the gas station. I was like, nice. So there was just so many moments where I was just, like, laughing so hard to myself, and it just felt good that, like, Emmy had made me do that even from afar.
Andy, I have so much joy knowing that I made you rip your pants from afar.
I'm gonna give you the pants.
I'm gonna frame them.
Andy and Emmy continued checking off the challenges on their list through the spring and early summer. When I talked to them back in May, they were preparing for a big reunion in Maine in June to complete a combined challenge that sounded more absurd than any so far.
And so I'm really excited about that because, like, I have some main things on my list, and then she has her triathlon. And after the last time we talked to you, Cordelia, that kind of, like, spiraled out of control. It might be, like, a decathlon. I'm not really sure.
It's just funny that what started as, like, a remote challenge turned into us making the effort to actually be together that one weekend. Yeah, I love that. And I feel like that's just, like, that's emblematic of our friendship. I feel like we decide on something and we make it happen. And I'm also just really excited about expanding our triathlon to a decathlon and maybe adding in some other fun activities like crab walking and lobster roll eating and badminton. We have to do a canoe race, except you can't use a paddle. You can only use your hands.
I told you it spiraled.
Though Andy and Emmy still have a few challenges on their list to complete before the year ends, they've already learned a lot from this exchange.
I think growing up, I definitely took myself more seriously. Like, I was like, intense school, intense sports, like, intense human. And I feel like the more I've gotten older, I just care about, like, having fun with my friends and, like, doing silly things. And I think just finding ways to, like, continue being a silly person in real life, whether that's at work or with my friends or doing an outdoor challenge and whatever that's going to be, like, I want to achieve something and do something that's, like, a fun activity. But I think I just reinforced to myself that, like, my values have changed a little bit to be less serious and finding opportunities for that as my life is, like, more and more structured and serious.
As for Andy,
I have spent all of this time this past year, like, alone and, like, spending a lot of time outdoors. And there, like, are moments where that's really lonely, but other moments where, like, I have just thrived like by myself. And so I feel like it's also been really cool to look at this list. And like at one point in my life, I probably would have felt like I needed somebody to do it with me. Whereas now, like when I look at this and I imagine what it looks like it's just me doing it. It's not like me trying to find a friend who could come with me because like I don't want to go alone. Instead, it's just like, no, like I'm going to have a great time by myself with my dog. She's included in all of it. And so that's been like really cool too, to just kind of like revalidate that like I can do a lot of things like by myself and have a really fun time.
After the break, two other go-getters take the torch and run. Stay with us.
Calling all business owners out there.
Yeah, I'm talking to you. Our planet needs businesses to be better. Newsflash, right? There's a way we do that. One of the moments in our journey as a company that Becca and I are most proud of is the day we joined 1% for the Planet 14 years ago. We know we have an impact. It's undeniable, right? It's not someone else's problem. It's our problem. And we wanted to become a part of a global network of individuals, businesses, and environmental not-for-profits driving real impact. So every year there's a day where we sit down and we plan our giving. It starts with a donation, but we've been able to bolster that with in-kind donations. There's all sorts of ways to do this. Other companies give employee volunteer time, so there's a solution that's right for you. The biggest thing is it connects us with others who care and organizations going to bat for the values we believe in. And it makes us feel part of something bigger than our small company. So if you're a business owner, big or small, publicly traded or not, there's room for you in this movement. Visit 1percentfortheplanet.org/dirtbagdiaries for more information. Be a part of this. We may have more than one career, but there is only one planet. 1% for the planet.
So when COVID hit, I was living in Wilson, Wyoming, and spending a lot of my time either backcountry or cross-country skiing. And then as spring turned, I turned to running. And the Dirtbag Diaries is one of my favorite podcasts to run to. And so I'll never forget this day, like running along the bike path in Wilson, listening to the Shenanigans episode, and really thinking, oh my goodness, like this is something that I could do something with.
This is Hannah Black. Her longtime adventure buddy is Fiona Noonan, who at the time lived in Bend, Oregon. They met as undergrads and began adventuring together after they graduated, backpacking in the Oregon wilderness, road tripping to Montana, igniting their shared passions for botany and geology by poring over plants and rocks along the trail.
And writing letters is something that I feel really passionate about and do a lot of in my life. And that's a way that Fiona and I have always stayed connected. So knowing that Fiona and I already had that connection and had a similar just style in our adventure made me want to initiate this challenge for her.
So I also listened to the Dirtbag Diaries on my runs and had just listened to it basically when I got the letter. And so as soon as it was like Shenanigans challenge, I was like, oh, we know what this is. This is good.
Fiona received her first challenge in April 2020.
I had to sneak a poem to a friend. I had to go on some kind of off-trail adventure and drink a beer. I had to draw a plant of some kind. And so I kind of drew something basically in my backyard. And oh, I had to draw it at three different scales too, very scientific. You know, the bet was a six-pack, classic Shenanigans, plus handmade or homemade cottonwood bud salve. And so there was kind of the creative element in what I would get in return for the challenge, which also had a creative element in it.
Fiona completed her first challenge at the end of June. She sent photos of her adventures and the three-part flower drawing back in the mail and received a six-pack and handmade cottonwood salve in exchange. A few weeks later, Fiona sent off a challenge for Hannah.
So the one I got was running based. So there was a minimum mileage and a minimum elevation gain, which I think was 8 miles and at least 1,000 feet of elevation gain trail running. And Then at the highest point in elevation on the run, I got to make a nature art creation. So kind of inspired by the artist Andy Goldsworthy, if you've ever heard of him. And then at the end, to drink a beer and prove by like holding it over my head that it was empty. And so that one was really fun and challenged me to get better at trail running because I wasn't loving running big hills and had to run up this Farron's Ridge, which is this big ridge outside of Jackson. Oh, it had to be on a new trail. That was part of it. So I like trained to then run this new trail that was a lot of consistent elevation gain.
It took Hannah several weeks to train for and finish her trail running challenge. She made it to the top of Farron's Ridge in mid-August, drank her beer, and sent photo documentation of her victory to Fiona.
Done! We did it!
When Hannah got back home to Wilson, she spent a few weeks dreaming up Fiona's next challenge, and then sent that off in the mail in September. By the time Fiona received the letter, she had moved from Bend to Boise.
So this also became a theme of like, where are either of us located? How do we figure out how to challenge someone in a place they barely know? And that challenge was, I had to bike a certain distance to a new-to-me piece of public land, and then I had to run minimum 4 miles or something, and then bike back on the way home, stop at a new-to-me bakery, get a loaf of sourdough bread, go home, try the sourdough bread, and then record a review of it in the style of the podcast, The Anthropocene Reviewed. So I was like showing up really sweaty to this bakery, biking home with bread, and then just standing in my kitchen, like recording. I think I recorded like 3 different takes of it before I like figured out how to fully get it all to work.
That was the sound of my brand new toaster oven being used for the first time ever on sourdough bread that I just got from Zeppoli, one of the very few, surprisingly few, bakeries in the city of Boise. It's surprising to me in a way because sourdough itself is such an old standby, according to NPR, which I very much trust in. Sourdough has been around since at least...
Once Fiona completed a successful take of her bread review, she zipped that, along with other photos from her challenge, off to Hannah. A few weeks later, in November, Fiona sent Hannah her next challenge.
My second challenge was a bit of a logistical headache, but very fun. It was ski season based, and so I needed to self-propel at least 1 mile to approach 2 different ski areas in the Jackson area. And so for this, I used a lot of support. So I had to run to Snow King, skin Snow King, ski down, pick up a pastry along the way, and then go over to the Jackson Hole Mountain Resort, self-propel there, either running or cross-country skiing, and I opted for cross-country skiing, take like lifts up to the highest point I could get to, and at that top spot to sketch the view and to consume the pastry, and then get back down within a certain amount of time. And that one I finished within 3 minutes of the time limit. So it was definitely a tighter one, but it was pretty wild. And I ended up using 3 different pairs of skis.
Hannah and Fiona's challenges escalated from there, and not just athletically.
Hannah made this amazing, so, you know, the challenge is physically mailed, and it was a snowflake theme the whole way through. And so it was a map shaped like a snowflake that had 6 different pieces you could peel back to reveal the different parts of the challenge. And then I got to choose my own adventure in terms of which way around the snowflake I went.
Fiona peeled back the first snowflake fold.
To bake seitan, the like gluten-based vegetarian meat alternative, in the shape of a snowflake, I had to glitter bomb a friend, which... Cordelia, you might recall, you have been glitter bombed by us.
Mid-challenge, Fiona and Hannah tracked down the Duct Tape Thin Beer office address and sent a letter to me. It took a few months for me to get it because during COVID, the office was closed and I work from Colorado. But one winter day this year, an envelope arrived for me in the mail from two people I didn't know. I opened it, had a surprise glitter explosion in the living room, and unfolded a letter detailing their glorious account of the challenges traded back and forth for the past year. I have to say, it really made my day. But the glitter bomb wasn't the last item on Fiona's challenge. She also had to teleski and dig a snow pit to identify snow crystals.
Hi, welcome to the mini pit. Due to significant compaction, there really aren't crystals anymore. But there's a sweet, sweet layer of what my uneducated opinion thinks is grapple on top. And after about 6 centimeters, that turns into...
And then I had to cross-country ski or run in the shape of a stellar dendrite. And it had to be big enough that it was visible on a GPS tracker.
Nordic skiing a dendrite!
That's pretty neat.
How neat is that? Bye-bye now.
Skiing this this snowflake shape, because I had no idea what I was doing, just shuffling around this flat area trying to make a snowflake and feeling so silly and also so stoked because it was something I would have never, ever done. And I guess also the moment when I looked at the tracker after I was finished and was like, oh, that worked. That's exciting. Just stands out as one of the goofiest things that I've done so far and very, very representative, I feel like, of the challenges we've been giving each other, which are oftentimes like pure nonsense as they're supposed to be.
Through this exchange of challenges, Hannah and Fiona have expanded their friendship in ways they never would have imagined across the miles.
I think the biggest thing I want to carry forward is that this has become kind of a key part of our friendship. So I guess what I want to carry forward is like that this is still kind of an awesome way to stay in touch and to learn about where the other person's living. And we both move a lot. And I think that's been a really cool part of this that I definitely foresee going forward. You know, right now, Hannah's about to move to a new place again. So I'm going to get to see into her world in a way that I probably won't in real life for quite a while still, most likely. Hannah will be that friend who's there and up for anything and also so able to have a really good time with whatever the circumstances are. She's there waiting and excited with me for how this silly thing plays out.
I think to me has taught me how tight our friendship is and that the things that feel like they're not very tangible when you're far away from each other can still happen. Being able to adventure and the goofiness, absolutely. And I think another thing is that while it's goofy and outside, I feel pushed in an exciting way by these challenges and like physically challenged in a way that's really cool. And I think something that isn't necessarily something I get from other friendships, and that Fiona like knows exactly that level to push me at, and hopefully I'm finessing the level to push her, is really cool. And I think it makes us better outdoors people and able to even have even more fun when we're together.
Thank you, Andy and Emmy, Hannah and Fiona, for sharing your story. In June, Andy and Emmy completed their combined decathlon, which involved canoeing, running, swimming, eating a whole strawberry cake, bird watching, and watching the sunset. Pretty awesome. Good work, everyone. Thanks again to Mike and Scott for kicking off all this fun. We love our community. Keep the stories coming. Seriously, please. Music today from Publishers of the Quest, Cordelia Zars, Kai Engel, and Brendan O'Connell. The tracks are courtesy of the Artists or Free Music Archive. Jacob Bain and Nice Koto composed our theme song. You can find the links to the artists at our website, dirtbagdiaries.com. This episode was produced by Cordelia Zars and edited by Becca Cahal. Illustration by Walker Cahal, graphics by Anya Miller. Becca Cahal is our executive producer. I'm Fitz Cahal, and you've been listening to the Dirtbag Diaries. Thanks for tuning in.